Hello, friends. Thank you for joining me again this week on the SOS Podcast. This is your host, Carl. I hope you're all doing well. This week, I had the pleasure of having a conversation that I haven't had in a really long time, which really got my brain working because I tried really hard to answer this person's question correctly. And it made me think that perhaps we are not always prepared with an answer the way we should be. And maybe God is bringing this subject up to me or to us because it's something that we need to make sure we're ready with. Now, the question I was asked was how someone knows that their moment of salvation, that moment of justification, is real, is genuine. Now, I just want to clarify, the question that I was asked was not whether the person saying the sinner's prayer or asking for forgiveness is being genuine in their request. The question I was asked was how anyone could know that what they experience in that moment is actually real. And here's the argument that was posed to me. The mind is really powerful, right? There are people who experience things that the best we can describe them is psychosomatic. For example, someone is ill, they're given a pill, but it's a placebo. They don't know that. They think it's real medicine. Somehow, miraculously, all of a sudden, they're better. But they didn't actually take medicine. So was it the person's mind that made them better because they thought they were taking medicine? Our minds also can trick us into remembering things incorrectly. I mean, I've had experiences where I go somewhere with someone and later on we're telling the story of where we went or what we did. And for whatever reason, we're remembering things differently. So that's the question that was posed to me, is how do we know any of this is actually real? And my first gut response was to talk about my own personal experience. And I probably have talked about this before, but honestly, I can't remember. What happened to me when I got saved was obviously transformative, but there are two things in particular that I can pinpoint. The first thing is that I had an experience that cannot be explained in any way other than scripturally. When I said that prayer of repentance, when I got down on my knees and closed my eyes, I almost felt like I was not even in that sanctuary anymore. I was in some place I don't know where. The one thing that I vividly remember, because when I think about it now, it seems like it all happened in the course of like 5 seconds, although I know I was praying for much longer. But the one thing that sticks out to me is that I heard a multitude of voices, a ton of voices. I couldn't make out what they were saying. I don't know what language they were speaking. But what I thought was happening was that the people who had been in that church service were hanging out in the sanctuary chatting. I thought that was what I was hearing while I was praying. Quite frankly, I kind of wanted them to get out because I felt like I should have some quiet so I could say this prayer and come clean and do whatever I had to do. When I got up from that prayer though, and I turned around, the sanctuary was empty. And it was only 2 weeks later when I was talking to a friend about why I was up there praying, which, by the way, that was when I found out I was saved because I didn't even know what salvation was. I was just up there saying a prayer. But when I told her about what happened that day and about the voices I heard, and she said, well, the heavens were rejoicing at a soul being saved. She's like, just read the scriptures. That's what you were hearing. And I think about that and I said, you know, because I certainly wasn't hearing any physical voices from anyone in that place. It was me, the pastor, and my two friends who had spotted me from the back of the church and were approaching me to ask me what I was doing up there. But other than the four of us, there was no one in that big, great room. Now, the other thing that happened that day that I can say tells me that I had a genuine experience is that I felt like someone knew. The sky looked different when I was driving home. The trees looked different. I could not explain really anything except that I felt weird. It was just like the world was new, life was new, I was new. Again, I had no idea that I was saved. I had no idea that the prayer that I prayed was the prayer of salvation. All I knew was that I went to church once. I went up to the front to pray at the end of service because they asked us if we needed prayer, and I did. I said some prayer, I poured everything out, and all of a sudden, it was like I was in some kind of like alien body. It wasn't me anymore. I definitely felt a change between the old me and the new me, even though I had no idea that that's what just happened. So I'm explaining this story to the person who asked me that question, and I can see the gears moving in his head. And I know that what he's thinking is that, well, that's an experience that feels genuine to you, that convinced you, but it doesn't convince me. So I started to think even more, and I thought, well, you know what? What would be convincing? What could I put on the table and say, look, if this doesn't prove it to you, I don't know what does. And after that conversation, I'm in the car, this song comes on the radio. It's a song called Just Drink the Water. It's an old, I want to call it like a country gospel a cappella quartet type bluegrass, almost bluegrass, but not really, like southern gospel type song. And it talks about, I don't want to just drink from the water of the well. I want to lead others to drink there as well. And that was what I felt when I was having this conversation. It was like, how do I convince this person that this is real? How do I get him to experience what I experienced? Not the same exact thing necessarily, but I know that God brought me to a place where I would experience something that would convince me 100%. And so I want him to get to the place where God is going to convince him 100%, whatever that's going to take. And you know, there is a story in the Bible that I feel like if anyone reads this, they have to be convinced that transformation, spiritual transformation, rebirth is real. And that's the story of Saul, not Saul in the Old Testament, Saul in the New Testament. If you read Acts, you know that Saul was an evil man. I mean, he was in his eyes a righteous zealot Jew, but he even says himself later on in the New Testament that his zeal was without knowledge. You know, he had zeal for the wrong thing. He was zealous for the Jews from the perspective of someone who thought Jesus was a blasphemer, and so he wanted to eradicate all of his followers. This is a man who was murdering Christians simply because they believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, which he is. If you read Acts, you see that Saul actually approved of the stoning of Stephen. It was like he was the guy who said, yes, please kill this guy. And after that, he went around in the synagogues and he was asking around and he wanted to know, who are all of these Christians? Who are these followers of this Yeshua? We need to find them and get rid of them. And it was in that process that Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to Damascus to exact this judgment of his on Christian believers. And Jesus met him and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And made him go blind for a period. Physically blind. His eyes were open physically, but he couldn't see. He was powerless. He needed help. It was like Jesus brought him to the point where he said, "If nothing is going to convince you, this will. I'm going to make it so that you cannot physically see just the way right now you cannot spiritually see. Let's see if this metaphor touches your heart." Well, of course, it would affect him, right? Because he needs help. He now has to have other people lead him around. Christ is giving him instruction of where to go and who to talk to, and he follows that. And when the scales fall from his eyes, the first thing the Bible says he does is he goes and tells that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is evangelizing. He is preaching. Does he know any of the New Testament? Well, no, he wrote a lot of it. None of that's around. What teachings did he know of? I don't know. This all seems like it happened very instantly. You have someone who is fervently persecuting the church. It's almost like he's the primary figure in charge of this. I don't know if that's historically accurate, but clearly he was a big part of that process in that local place, a big part of that persecution. And now what? Well, now in the matter of a couple days, he has this experience and all of a sudden he is someone totally different. And how do we know that his experience was not just in his mind? How do we know that it was real and genuine? Well, first of all, he can tell you he was blind. He physically could not see for days. Not only that, he had witnesses there to see what he was going through, to be able to say, "I was there. I know that this man was blinded. I know that these things that appeared to be scales fell from his eyes. I know that after this happened, he was a different person because he acted differently." The man who approved of the stoning of Stephen is now now going around some short time later, professing that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Son of God. There was no doubt about it. He had an experience that he can attest to was genuine and that cannot be explained in any other way. And there's fruit from that experience. What is that? He became a different person, evidenced by his action. God is not the author of confusion. He wants us to know. He wants us to be sure. He wants things to be clear. He wants us to ask questions because he wants to answer them. His desire is for us to grow in spiritual knowledge and wisdom, which means that he doesn't want to keep those doors closed. He wants to share what he knows with us. He wants to impart that to us. So I would say if you know someone who has that question, who says, well, how do we know any of this is even real? Point to Saul, point to Paul, see what they say about that. Share your testimony. Tell that person how you know that what you experienced was genuine. And then pray. Pray that God would bring them to the place where they would have no doubt. Pray that God would lead them to the well that we drank from, that they would be able to taste and feel the coolness of that water and know that it's real. Know that it's not just some illusion or some trick of the mind. The word says that we are to be prepared with an answer for this hope that we have, this faith that we have. And this is part of it. Let us take our stories and the stories of transformation we find in Scripture and add to that a special little prayer for God to open people's eyes the way he opened Saul's eyes, for God to blind them if necessary, then make the scales fall off. So there can be no question, there can be no explanation other than this was the mighty hand of God. Seek out someone in your life who is not saved and sow that prayer into them, that God would lead them to the well, to drink of the water that we know is so refreshing, so life-giving, and so necessary. Father God, we just ask you, Lord, to continue to fill us with your knowledge and wisdom, that when we're challenged in ways like these, that when we're asked a question like this, Father, we would be ready with an answer, Father. Refresh our minds, remind us of your word, of your scripture, that we would have that at the ready. We'd be able to just speak your words as they are written. And Father, put in our paths people who still have yet to drink from that well, especially those who think the well doesn't really exist, that it's just some kind of mirage. Father, let them run into us, that we can introduce them to you, and that they would have a genuine salvation experience that they can share with others, Father. We love you, Lord, and we can't wait to see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good day, and God bless. Soul. Soul. Ow. Ow. Soul.